Hello, everyone. We will continue in our Bible study through the book of Psalms. This time we will begin with Psalms chapter 18. So please get your Bible and follow along. You'll get so much more out of this Bible study if you do that. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 1. I will love you, O Eternal, my strength, David said. Now these Psalms were written by David almost entirely, although apparently there were a few other authors of some of the chapters of this book of Psalms. But the whole book is inspired of God. This is inspired scripture. And it dates back to around 1000 to 1050 BC, as far as the time frame of this book is concerned. And yet, as you see, when we go through these Bible studies, not only is it up to date, it's ahead of our time in many respects. And when we read and study these verses and put them into practice in our lives, we find that they work because God inspired them. And therefore, they are truth. And as we obey truth, wonderful things take place. So David starts by saying, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. Wonder when you told God you loved him. When was the last time that you told God that you loved him? David told him that often. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And then look at the tremendous references that David makes to God in the many ways that he helps him, and in the many instances that he stands by David. We can do the same thing. Verse 2, chapter 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In him I will trust, my buckler or my shield, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Look how specific David got in describing God and the way he intervened and protected David, inspired David, provided for him, took care of him. We can do the same thing as we talk to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Why is that? Because David said, I will call upon the Lord. I will look to him for salvation. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell or the grave compassed me about. The snares of death confronted me or prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple or from his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. I wonder if we realize how important our prayers are. And how much God wants our prayers to come up to him. He pays attention. He's interested. He cares for us. And David makes that plain right here. Can you imagine? Think about it. We get on our knees and we cry out to God and he hears our voice from his throne in the third heaven. Our prayers come into his ears, personally and specifically. It's that important. It's that wonderful. What a privilege. To pray to God and know that he hears. David knew that. Verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. He was angry. And now we're going to read prophecy here. We're going to read scripture here that actually refer to the day of the Lord and the kingdom of God being brought back to this earth by Jesus Christ and established. And as I've explained before, we will see duality in the Bible and especially duality in this book of Psalms. Sometimes it's interwoven with David talking about himself and also talking about Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's interwoven with David's day, our day, and the kingdom of God coming in the future. So we have to look at it in context. Here we read a description of what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns to this earth again. Verse 8, Psalms 18. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. See, he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Zechariah 14 and verse 1 and tie it in with what we're reading here. Zechariah 14 and verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And now we're reading about what happens when he comes again. It's going to shake the world. We're going to see tremendous power and tremendous events take place that have never taken place before and never will again. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be a very powerful earth-shaking event. And that's what's described here by David in Psalms 18, starting in verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. That's never happened before, but it's going to happen when Christ comes again. The earth, the entire earth, shaking and trembling. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry, angry at the way men have turned their back on him and mistreated one another. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. He sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. David shows how God intervened and delivered him. And he delivered Israel many times, and he delivers his church. So there's metaphors that are combined here as David, under inspiration, describes this cataclysmic and fantastic and much looked for second coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth to put down man's rule and to establish God's rule forever and ever thereafter. They prevented or confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He was my support. Verse 16, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. We think we're tough and strong sometimes when we're really not, and we have to look to God for that strength and for that toughness, and he will help us face whatever we have to face and come through all of it successfully, because God is with us. They confronted me or prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay, my support. He brought me forth also into a large place, a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. That's why he delivered me. David did what God wanted him to do, and when he messed up, he repented. And therefore God delighted in him, and he delivered him, and he'll do the same thing for every one of us. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. Now David is not bragging here. He's not touting his righteousness, which in actual fact would be self-righteousness. But he's talking about the righteousness that God put in him and the righteousness that God helped him to develop, God's righteousness. And the fact that God helped him to repent and change and have cleanness of hands instead of bloody hands. And instead of sinning, David repented and became an obedient servant of God, a man after God's own heart because of God's strength and help. And the same thing applies to each and every one of us. We can learn so much from this book of Psalms if we study David's life and studied what he taught and said about God and apply it to our lives today. Notice verse 21, for instance, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." He was loyal to God. He was obedient to God. He did not turn his back on God. He stayed faithful to God, and we must as well. "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I kept them in my mind. I thought about them. I studied them. I prayed about them, and with his help I tried to keep them. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. I overcame. I resisted evil. I walked away from sin, sometimes ran away from it. Therefore has the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and in his eyesight." Now, he's still not talking about self-righteousness here. He's talking about the righteousness that God gives us. It becomes ours when God gives it to us, and we cultivate it and develop it. It's God's righteousness in us. And so when he says, according to my righteousness, it's the righteousness that God gave him and developed in his life because he has kept his ways and he had obeyed God. And he gives God all the credit. And that's what we must do. See, it says, verse 24, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. It's according to what God thinks, not what man thinks and not what David thought of himself, but what God thought about his righteousness and his cleanness, which God gave him and helped him develop. Verse 25, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With an upright man you shall show yourself upright. Now, these are very instructive verses we're reading here. You know, whatever you sow, you reap, God says in his word. And so if we want mercy, we must show mercy. And we all need mercy. If we want God to bless us as an upright individual, then we must develop an attitude and a life of being upright or being correct or being right. With the pure, you shall show yourself pure. And with the froward, you shall show yourself froward. In other words, what we sow, we reap. When it talks about froward here, it's not that God becomes devious, and that's what froward means. It means that if a person becomes devious, then God is going to repay him for that deviousness. God is never devious, of course. He's always perfect and right. But if you want to be devious, you're going to suffer the consequences of being devious. And he will show himself to that devious person in the consequences that come as a result of him having that wrong attitude. For you will save the afflicted people, but you will bring down high looks, vanity, and haughtiness. But if we submit to God and we humble ourselves before him, he's going to be for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? For you will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Isn't that a wonderful way to put it? God will bring me out of darkness into the light. One of the things you see as we go through the book of Psalms and we read about David and what he said in his close personal relationship with God, one of the things you see is that David came to completely and entirely depend on God for everything. He had his part to do, but he even depended on God to help him with his part. But he didn't look to man. He didn't look to physical things. He looked to God for everything, every day, all day, and trusted him and put everything in God's hands. And therefore, that gave him confidence, not self-confidence, but confidence from God, and faith and hope and joy and happiness and anticipation for the future, because he was in such a close, personal, constant, daily relationship with Almighty God, day in and day out, all the time, looking to him for everything and giving him great praises for the blessings that he poured out on David as a result of it. That's what we have to come to do. For you will light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness, it says in verse 28. Verse 29, for by you I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. That's how I was able to do great exploits and win the battles I entered into and become such a great leader and powerful king and warrior in the nation of Israel for so many years, 40 years. It was because of God's power, God's help. And by the way, you're going to see David now describe some mighty bloody and awful scenes here where warfare did take place with Israel and other nations. We have to remember that Israel was God's chosen people, and he wasn't playing favorites, but he chose them to be his representative kingdom and government on this earth in terms of showing the world how living life God's way works, keeping the commandments and looking to God for everything. Now, they were a carnal nation and a physical nation, so they could only go so far in those matters, in keeping God's law in the letter and doing the physical things. And if they had done that properly, then they would have learned how to do the spiritual things and keep God's law in the spirit. But they didn't. But we can today. But it was God's kingdom on this earth at the time. Therefore, they fought their enemies. They did battle with them, and God fought their battles. And God would tell them, you go wipe out that pagan nation over here. They're pagan to the core. They're even sacrificing their children in the fire to false gods. You're not going to be able to change them now. That's going to come later. You just got to get rid of them, establish my kingdom in the promised land, and don't be polluted by them. In order to do that, you've got to wipe them out, and I'll help you do it. And so they did. Now, Christ said something very interesting in that regard. If you'll turn over here to John chapter 18, and verse 36, he said this, John chapter 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So We know that God's kingdom is yet to come, but it was his physical kingdom on earth during the time of David, and so his servants did fight. And we've already read in Zechariah 14 that when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth a second time, he's going to come as a warrior, and he is going to fight. And those that are his servants will also fight and put down man's rule once and for all and then establish his kingdom, and then there will be peace throughout the world for 1,000 years. Just to once again emphasize the fact that when he comes a second time, he's going to be coming as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and a mighty warrior to put down man's rule, and they're going to battle him. Zechariah 14, verse 3. Zechariah 14, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. That's when he fought in the day of battle. So the Bible is clear on this point. So as we continue to read now through Psalms 18 and read these descriptions of how God helped David in battle, just understand that that was under the Old Covenant in Old Testament times when Israel was God's nation on this earth, and they did have to battle enemies, and God fought their battles for them. Now, under the New Covenant, we obey the law not only in physical terms, but we obey the spirit of the law, and our battles are engaged in on the spiritual level. We're in spiritual battles to overcome and grow and yield and obey God. The physical battles are not engaged in now because God's kingdom is not on this earth now. When it comes back to this earth and is established, if there needs to be some physical battles, there will be. But mainly it'll be the spiritual aspect of God's law in the kingdom of God. Yes, it'll be the physical aspect as well, but mainly the spirit of the law, which means not only do you not kill, you don't hate. Not only do you not commit adultery, you don't even think about that. And so it's under the Melchizedek priesthood, under the new covenant, that we live and will live when the kingdom of God is established on this earth. But in David's day, it was under the old covenant and under the Levitical priesthood, and therefore they did enter into battle as God's physical nation on this earth. That's no longer the case after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his church was established. And then therefore, his church is to show the world how to live life and to be his kingdom in embryo until his actual kingdom is established on this earth, and to keep his law in the spirit as well as in the letter. So let's just keep that in mind, and perhaps it'll be clearer as we read through what David describes here. Once again, Psalms 18, verse 29. For by you I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Eternal is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. God's word is perfect. It is the truth. We can trust it. And when we obey this word, it does work. It's wonderful. It's been proven to be such. That's what David says here. The word of the Lord is tried. It's proven. It will never let us down. Verse 31, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. Not me, God. He opens up the way for me to go forward, and it's perfect the way he opens it up. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon my high places. I'm swift, I'm quick, I'm able to maneuver in trouble and in battle, David said. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. I'm strong. I have excellent tactics and strategy in battle and courage because God strengthens me and the armies that are with me in these battles. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand is holding me up, and your gentleness has made me great. You know, he understands the spiritual aspect of the law as well, David did. But he was living in a time when the kingdom was on this earth and was a physical kingdom. He handled things in a physical way. It's different now under the Melchizedek priesthood and Jesus Christ, and will be in the kingdom of God on earth in the future when the whole earth will be under the King, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In David's day, Israel was God's physical nation. In our day, spiritual Israel is the church under the leadership of Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that difference. The requirements are more now than it was in David's day. The blessings are more now than they were in David's day because they involve spiritual things, not just physical things. Verse 36, you have enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. You put me on solid ground. It didn't fall out from under my feet. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. They were defeated. They were destroyed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for you have girded me with strength under the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You have given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. And those enemies would have destroyed Israel if God had not given them into David's hand and into the armies of Israel's hand. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Because even though they cried unto the Lord, they didn't obey him. They were just desperate. And when things were going well for them, they turned their back on God, these enemies of Israel. And then when they were cornered, well, out of desperation, they would cry out to anybody, including Israel's God. But that wasn't enough. He answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people, and you have made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. David was talking about his rulership as king of Israel in his day, but in duality talking about the rulership of Jesus Christ in the day when Christ comes back to this earth and establishes his kingdom in a more fuller and complete sense. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places or hideouts. Verse 46, Psalms 18, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. David was always trying to praise God and exalting God and obeying him and serving him and highlighting him and referring to him in a wonderful, awesome, standing in awe way and attitude. That's how David related to God, and we can do the same. It is God that avenges me, verse 47, and subdues the people under me, and that's what he'll do in the millennium. And he'll help us in this life and protect us against those who want to do us harm. It says that right here in verse 48, he delivers me from my enemies, yea, you lift me up above those that rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. And we live in a society that is so riddled and laced with violence, we need to be delivered from it. We can do all we can do in trying to be safe and use wisdom and take precautions, but that's not enough. We need help from God, and he will give us that help so that we do not become victims of violence or of mayhem or of anarchy. And it's getting more and more rampant throughout the world now, and we can be caught in a crossfire and drawn into all kind of untenable situations that we had nothing to do with and tried to avoid, and yet there we are. And God will deliver us from that if that happens and protect us in that situation if we're looking to him in faith. That's what David is saying here. Verse 48, you have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto your name. David was not shy to praise God, to sing to God, to glorify God, to thank God. Now, he didn't go around hitting people over the head with that, and he didn't corner people and push it on them, and he didn't go around sounding like some goofy, pseudo-religious, mushy individual. But in the appropriate way, at the appropriate time, he worshiped God, he praised God, he glorified God, he sung to God, and he thanked God. And we can do the same. It says he will sing praises unto your name. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto your name. Verse 50, great deliverance gives he to his king, to David, and to Jesus Christ the king, and to his people, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. The blessings get passed along in the family as the family learns to obey God. That brings us to the end of Psalms chapter 18. What a wonderful, encouraging, inspiring, powerful psalm Psalms 18 really is. And we'll pick it up next time as we continue this Bible study through the book of Psalms. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.